My name's Joe Valentine. I am the chief of the Syphilis Elimination and STD Disparities Unit at the Division of STD Prevention. And today we're going to talk about intervention. And it's a sort of a slang way of describing something very important in terms of how to deliver STD programs. Featuring today will be Roxanne Barrow, our medical epidemiologist, if you could just wave, because I'm going to introduce him one time and not pop up here anymore. Dazon Dixon Diallo from Sister Love. Wave, Dazon. David Johnson, who is our STD Disparities chairman, coordinator, and co-chair of our STD Disparities work group. And Scott Tulloch, who is working with the Indian Health Service out in Indian country. So just real quickly, the slang, when we were looking at these abstracts and deciding how to organize the session, somebody said, well, I don't like it when we use slangs. But I thought, you know, it's very important, and it's an important term to get the message. And I think what you'll see from our panelists today about the role of communities being involved in designing the interventions that are used to help them reduce their risk for STD. It's not a new concept, obviously. It's been around a really long time, and I just want to highlight here a couple of examples of where it has been used. Unfortunately, Leo Wilton, who was supposed to join us today, has experienced family emergency. His mother is really ill and was not able to join us. So that's regrettable. But what we did ask is that Shane Johnson, who is a member of the MSM working group at the center of NCHSTP, will join us in a panel discussion. So once we finish the presentations, we're going to then have all the speakers come up, form a panel, and then we'll have a chance to ask really in-depth questions. And so we try to build in a lot of time to allow you an opportunity to really ask questions, because I think it's very important to have a conversation, and so this will provide us an opportunity. So I'm going to turn it over now to Dr. Barrow and her presentation.
Okay, good morning, everyone. Good morning. All right, well, in the time that I have allotted, I'll briefly describe the burden of STDs among minority populations. I'll begin by describing which populations are disproportionately affected by STDs. Then I'll talk a little bit about the geographic areas where we see larger burdens of STDs by these minority populations. And then lastly, I'll highlight what factors may be contributing to the STDs among minority populations. And as we heard in the opening session yesterday and in the morning session this morning, you know, racial disparities continue to face severe disparities across all of the reportable diseases, primarily PNS, syphilis, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. So first I'll start talking about who's affected by these STDs. So this slide is of syphilis, and I just wanted to share with you in 2008, there were roughly 14,000 reported cases of primary and secondary syphilis, which are the most infectious stages of syphilis. And the syphilis rate among blacks were about 8 times higher than that of whites in 2008. And the rate reported for syphilis among Hispanics was double that of the whites. And for American Indian, Alaskan Natives, compared to whites, it was roughly equal. Moving on to gonorrhea, as you heard John say this morning, there are approximately 337,000 reported cases of gonorrhea in 2008, making gonorrhea the second most commonly reported infectious disease in the United States. Blacks represent only 12% of the total U.S. population, but made up more than 70% of the gonorrhea cases in 2008. And so that's one of the greatest disparities of any diseases and the most severe racial disparity of all reportable STDs. In 2008, you'll see on this slide that the gonorrhea rate among blacks was more than 20 times higher than that of whites. And not featured here, but I just wanted to let you know that black girls age 15 to 19 years of age had the highest gonorrhea rates of any group, and that was followed by black women 20 to 24 years of age. The rate of reported gonorrhea infections among Hispanics was more than twice that of whites, and for American Indian Alaskan natives, it was roughly 4 times higher than that of whites. For chlamydia, it remains the most commonly reported infectious disease in the United States. There were more than 1.2 million cases of chlamydia reported to the CDC in 2008. The chlamydia rates among blacks were about 9 times higher than that of whites. And for, again, like with chlamydia, for gonorrhea, young African-American women are at greatest risk for gonorrhea. Black girls 15 to 19 years of age had the highest chlamydia rate of any group, followed by the 20 to 24-year-old age group. Overall, the rates of chlamydia were almost 3 times higher among Hispanics compared to whites, and 4.7 times or roughly 5 times higher among American Indian Alaskan natives than among whites. So when we look at the disparities, ratios for blacks and whites, and we look over the 5-year period, we see that we've had an increase in the rate ratio over the 5-year period across all three infections. This next slide is of primary and secondary syphilis and is looking at the reported cases of sexual orientation by race and ethnicity. And what this slide shows here is that the African Americans or black are in that yellow bar. They are have had a number of cases across the board with the exception of MSM. Where we see that white MSM are driving the PNS syphilis epidemic for men. Then this slide is some data from our MSM prevalence monitoring project, and it's data over 8 U.S. cities that were participating in this project, and as you can see here, the rates were highest for black MSMs across all infections with the exception of the rectal GC, and Hispanics had the second highest rates following blacks with the exception of pharyngeal GC. Now the next three slides, they have a lot of information in there. I'll try to summarize the key point that I would like to make in these three slides. But what I want you to note, the yellow areas, those are the states that have the lowest rates of the particular disease, and then the darker red has the highest. So if we look at the PNS syphilis rates by race and ethnicity by site, the first, I guess it's on your left, the map there is for blacks, the right is Hispanic, and down at the bottom is the Asian, Alaskan Indian American natives. The next slide is GC, and the next is chlamydia. So what you might notice, and I'll flick back to those again, if you look across the infections, the burden of disease is quite different across the races and ethnicity, but they're also slightly different for each of the diseases as we look across the blacks, Hispanics, and American Indians, Alaskan Natives. So the key that I wanted to share with those slides is we need to know and understand where we're seeing the burdens of infection in what geographic areas, and that would help us as we form our interventions and knowing what populations we need to do interventions in what areas and for what infections. Okay. So now I just want to talk a little bit about why do we see these STD disparities? We often talk about the numbers, but we also forget to talk about what goes behind those numbers. So one of the factors could be the individual risk factor. And I think that's something that we focused on quite a bit over the years. But when we ask the question, do differences in individual risk behavior account for the disparities? One study by Halfers et al., they showed when they looked at low-risk youth, the African-American youth had an eightfold greater risk of STDs and HIV than white youths. And then when we also look at the herpes seroprevalence by number of lifetime partners by race and ethnicity, we see that regardless of the number of partners, across the number of partners for each of the race ethnicities, African Americans tend to have a higher risk of herpes than the other ethnic groups. And if you want to see and learn a little bit more about this, I'm doing a shameless plug, but it's poster 179 on this evening from 5 to 6:30. So if you want to learn a little bit more about this, please go by and see that poster. Then what about social networks? Do differences in social networks account for differences in the rate ratios of disease? Well, in one study, they looked at how African-American partners work, or sexual partnerships work, and what they saw was that African-American partner choice is more disortive. And what that means is that you have low-risk individuals hooking up with higher risk individuals, and they saw that more so in the African-American populations than in whites. And they also found that African-American partner choice is more segregated, meaning that African-Americans tend to have sex with African-Americans. What about the socio-demographics? Do poor socio-economic environment increase the risk of gonorrhea? Well, Ellen et al., they looked at this and they saw that controlling for environment doesn't fully account for the increased risk of gonorrhea by African-American adolescents. So there are other factors, or the structural factors. We heard John talk a lot about the healthcare services this morning, the access to care, the quality of care, acceptability, acceptable care, excuse me. We have to talk about housing, unemployment, work environment, education, church, and all of those things play a role, and I won't get into all of those, but I did want to share about the healthcare services. And this was some data from the STD Surveillance Network. And it's really hard to see here on this slide, but when they looked at the various facilities where individuals were being diagnosed with gonorrhea, they found that the African Americans or blacks, they tend to use the emergency room. And not shown here is some other data about the quality of STD care in emergency rooms. They tend not to be current on the STD treatment recommendations, screening, and those sorts of things. So they may be accessing care through the emergency room, but they may not be getting quality of care. And then one other point that I wanted to make here as well is that when you look at the emergency room visits, one of the reason many of the participants were using the emergency room was that they were able to be diagnosed over the weekend. So that gets back to the access of care. So I really love this slide that Sevgiya Rao has put together, and kind of brings all of these social determinants together as it relates to many of the minority populations. So when you take the sexual mixing patterns, the access to quality, acceptable care, that has an impact on the population prevalence and incidence. So if you're not getting good care, you're not getting access to care, and then what your sexual mixing patterns are, that can potentially increase your population of STDs within your network. And then that can convert to your individual risk of STD acquisition. Even though I am an African-American woman who has one sex partner, I'm still at greater risk for an STD. So even though I may not personally have other risk factors, just being in that pool puts me at risk. And this is, I believe, my last slide, and Jill hasn't given me the sign yet, but I won't read through all of the bullets here, but I just wanted to share with you, and John showed this slide as well. He must have looked at my slides last night. But the hidden epidemic that the IOM report that came out in 1997, you know, they really emphasized the importance of multi-pronged approach in addressing STD prevention, and this will naturally lend itself to reducing disparities across the board. And our other panelists, I'm sure, will be presenting some intriguing interventions that would address some of these STD disparities. So I'll end here and just want to acknowledge all of my colleagues who slides I stole, borrowed, got permission, but I'm giving them their due. Thank you so much.